Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, I'm going to talk to Dave Williams about a very interesting topic, the last days. He's recently written a book called Hope for the Last Days. And we're going to talk about that and also talk about how the last days relate to the recent election. So stay tuned after this message.
You don't have to wait until life is perfect to follow God into a new adventure. After a series of traumatic losses in his own life, Pastor John Westfall realized that when everything feels like it's ending, sometimes God is starting something new. Through his own dramatic story, the stories of others, and wisdom from Scripture, Westfall shares the peace of acceptance, the pleasure of release, and the power of risk. Find I Didn't Sign Up for This by John F. Westfall wherever books are sold.
Well, welcome to you, Dave Williams. Thank you for being on my podcast. I guess you know that I'm actually out of town, hard at work on finishing a book called God and Donald Trump. But we had set up this podcast, and I didn't want to miss it. So due to the miracle of technology, we're able to do it. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific, Steve. Thanks for having me on. And I'm excited about your new book.
Well, thank you. Before we talk about that, let's talk about hope in the last days. I remember that I did an interview with you on some media that you were doing right around the time of the launch. So I want to talk about some of the same kind of things. But just tell me and the listeners exactly what's in the book and why you wrote it.
Well, first of all, why I wrote the book is because many pastors are no longer teaching prophecy. They believe that it divides or it brings too much criticism or the pastor doesn't understand it well enough. So I wrote it in a simple, understandable way, and I did my very best to put it in chronological order because there is a prophetic order. You know, there should be not a whole lot of confusion. You know, we know when the sun rises, we know when the sun sets. We can predict it to the very minute, and that's because God is a God of order, and so prophecy has a certain order to it, and also because, you know, there have been some false alarms in the past 20 years that really have nothing to do with Bible prophecy, even though it was purported to be Bible prophecy, it really wasn't. An example would be, well, Harold Camping. You know, I'm sure he was a good and sincere man, but he predicted the rapture of the church in September, and I don't really remember the year. But I'm sure everyone would remember 1988, why the rapture could occur in 1988, and the Weisenhout booklets that were circulating in a lot of churches.
Oh, I remember those well. But, you know, it goes way beyond that. It goes all the way back to the 1840s, where the Seventh-day Adventist denomination actually started as a result of them kind of waiting for the second coming. It didn't happen, and so it was kind of like, what do we do now? And they formed the Seventh-day Adventist, and we don't think about that very much. And perhaps right. I oversimplified exactly what happened. And, you know, we believe that they're good people, so I don't mean to be critical. But the point I'm making is it's not really new. But go on with what you were saying.
Sure. I wrote Hope in the Last Days to give believers an understanding of the approximate chronology of events that are taking place. And I kind of liken it to a jigsaw puzzle. You know, if you just take the pieces and throw them on a table and try to figure them out, it's difficult. But if you get the border pieces in first, or what I call the marquee prophetic events, then it's a lot easier when you get the other pieces to fit them in and you get a clearer picture of God's prophetic plan.
Well, that's a very common sense way to look at it, and it's helpful. A lot of people almost fear the last days. I mean, there are some scriptures in Matthew that you know well, in which it
sure
talks about people wanting the mountains to fall on them because it's so bad. It almost is like a picture of nuclear war. And a lot of people really fear that, especially with the Antichrist and the Battle of Armageddon and, you know, the different things that the average Christian would know about. So your book has a very interesting title, Hope in the Last Days. So explain how there's hope when some of these prophecies are basically doom and gloom.
Sure. And that's the way most prophecy books are written. It's all about the doom and gloom and not about the hope. But every time Jesus was speaking about particularly the coming great tribulation, he said, "See that you be not troubled." And when Paul was talking about certain eschatological events, he said, comfort one another with these words. So there's a lot of hope in the Bible. In fact, faith cannot operate without hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for, we're told in Hebrews 11:1. And we believers, I mean, if we don't have hope, who does have hope? We can have hope in the midst of global difficulty. I just read in the news this morning that a bomb exploded in the Golan Heights. It was an accident from Syria. And that situation is heating up, and we knew that the Middle East would be the focus in the last days. And here we are, we're seeing such a convergence, such a fusion of the signs and markers and conditions that are leading up to that final seven-year period that I call in my book the final Shabuah, because in the Hebrew, seven is Shabuah. There'll be a final 7 years, and a lot of that gloom and doom that you referred to from the book of Revelation will occur during that final 7 years, but even during that final 7 years, there's going to be hope. You see, Steve, I've studied the various views on the catching away of the church, the harpazo in the Greek or raptus in the Latin language, the rapture of the church, and there's all these different viewpoints of the rapture. You've got the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, and some have a doctrine called partial trib. And so I studied all of them, and I've come to the conclusion, personally, and I don't believe this should be a point of division in the body of Christ, but a point of loving discussion with one another about it, because it's not an issue that is pertinent to salvation. But I've come to the conclusion that something dramatic, global, irreversible, and sudden will happen to close out the church age. And I believe that that is called the blessed hope. Paul said in Titus, he talked about the blessed hope and, conjunction, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That indicates to me that they're two separate events, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. It would be like if I said, I have a car and a truck. You wouldn't say, well, the truck is the car is the truck. They're two separate things. And I believe that Jesus is coming for his church to take his church off the earth to the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, while the earth enters its final 7 years of supreme agony, which Jesus called the Great Tribulation and Jeremiah called a time of Jacob's trouble. The focus then will be on Israel. It's that missing prophetic piece from Daniel 9. 7 years is missing from the prophecy, and I believe at the close of the church age, and when some world leader finally makes a peace agreement, confirms it, and enforces it between Israel and a third party, that final 7 years will begin, which will include a world government and a dictator like no other we've ever seen.
Well, that's very interesting, and the listener can order this on Amazon, really anywhere Christian books are sold, and find out a whole lot more than the little bit you've been able to share with us. It's fascinating.
Sure. And Barnes & Noble almost sold out the first day here in Lansing. They had bought several copies, and they called our office to see if we had any copies we could sell to them.
Well, that's good. Early indicator that the book is really catching on, so I appreciate that. If I could shift gears in the few minutes we have left to talk about President Donald Trump. A couple of years ago, nobody thought he could be elected, including most Christian leaders. And we all know the miracle that happened on November 8th. Where do you see Donald Trump in end times, or do you see him in end times?
Oh, I do, Steve. I really do. And that's a great question, because many believers that helped elect Donald Trump believe that our nation has been given a reprieve. And I think we have. I think Donald Trump is a strong leader. However, he has a goal. He wants to do what no other president has ever done. And he wants to be the deal maker, the art of the deal that he is, and make a deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Now, he's not the Antichrist. I guarantee you he's not the Antichrist. I believe that Donald Trump, I really do believe he is a Christian. And you've written about that before. And so some are saying he's the Antichrist. He's not. But he is a deal maker, and he's a builder. One thing Israel wants is they want that temple rebuilt. And there's plenty of room on Mount Moriah, on the Temple Mount, There's a beautiful footprint right in front of the Eastern Gate where they would have plenty of room to build that temple right alongside the Mosque of Omar, the Dome of the Rock. If anybody could broker that kind of a deal, now that doesn't mean he would be the one that would enforce it, because we know that the prince that is to come, that will be the false prince according to Daniel 9, will be the one that enforces the deal. But I can see how Donald Trump could be used in making that deal and maybe even have some help in building that temple or offer some
help.
Well,
that's a very interesting insight. You know, he has really changed the dynamic between the United States and Israel from what we had come to expect under Barack Obama. He was the first president to visit the Western Wall. He apparently relates very well to Netanyahu. So it'll be interesting exactly to see what he does in Israel. He's pledged to move the embassy to Jerusalem, which in itself would be a huge move. But the building of the temple, as you say, I mean, that's almost unthinkable. It's almost unthinkable. And yet, you know, in God's providence, his plans will come to pass. And, of course, we believe this temple will be rebuilt. But I guess I'm just expressing my own doubt that it would ever happen in my lifetime. So this will be very interesting to watch.
It is interesting. The whole focus is so amazing, the way all the markers that we would expect in the very last days, the signs that are pointing to that final Shabuah, that final 7 years, are all in active play now. They have never converged the way they are right now. And Dr. David Reagan polled 22 of the best-known prophecy experts in the world about what the number one sign that we could be the final generation before Jesus comes, what would be that number one sign? He figured they would say the rebirth of the nation Israel, but they didn't. Just about all 22 said that it is the convergence of all the signs together at the same time. All the nations we would expect to be lining up are lining up right now. The conditions are here. And it really wouldn't take too much chaos to bring everything together for the final moments.
Well, we believe that that will happen, but we also believe that, or I should say, I believe that we've got to have understanding and not just go crazy on everything that comes along. You had mentioned that earlier. I remember all the mess about Y2K. Remember that? Just
a lot of
things that have happened. So, you know, hopefully you and your book can help bring some clarity and some maturity to the body of Christ. There are a lot of pastors that need to be teaching this again, as you referred to earlier. And I just want to thank you for writing the book and just tell you on a personal basis what an honor it is to be able to have published it.
Oh, thank you, Steve. That means so much to me. You are a hero to the body of Christ. I mean, for years and years and years, you have brought us the news and views and truths, and I want to say how much we appreciate you.
Well, you're very kind to say that, and I just want to thank you once again for being on my podcast, and thank my listeners for tuning in today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.